stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, January 30th.
God, the month has flown.
It really has, huh?
Yeah.
Like just yesterday was New Year's.
I know.
So we're heading to February.
That means rent's due. It sucks.
That's what it means, yeah. The first of the month.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? And tax season is coming up and stuff, so
yeah,
everybody's complaining.
I'm complaining.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way of the world. We have to work, 15% of our time for the government.
Don't you
so
love it?
So actually more than that, you know, when you add everything else. But, you know, what can you do?
Awesome, and they don't even fix your streets.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. I know. Eventually, they fix streets. It's just that it takes them forever.
Years down the road.
Yeah.
Wait, so I have a question. If you claim bankruptcy, do you have to pay your taxes?
Yeah, taxes are not...
I don't know.
No, you still have to pay taxes. You have to pay child support, things like that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That
won't work.
I don't have a child or anything like that. So yeah. I wonder. Yeah.
No, don't file. Don't file for bankruptcy. I mean, that stays with you forever.
No, I'm not saying me.
Yeah.
I had this thought. Yeah, this thought. I'm like, what about people out there who just can't, like, they can't do anything? You know what I mean? Like, they're just really screwed. And I wonder how that works.
Right.
Like, I wonder.
Well, if you don't make enough money, you don't pay federal and state, but you still have to pay your Social Security and Medicare.
I guess.
And that's why, you know, that adds up to about 10%.
Mm, yeah, I don't
know. So, you know, even if you don't make enough money, you still have to pay that shit.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? You know, and then when we get older, we're not even going to have Social Security, probably.
Probably not after what's going on. It's such bullshit.
Yeah.
It's such bullshit. I could go on forever about how much the government pisses me off.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
I know.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. I was trying to recoup everything that happened this week. It was just nightmarish.
Yeah.
I just kind of Saturday. What did I do Saturday? I went hiking to this waterfall place that I know of, and
in Malibu that you were describing.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. And I went there, and then I went to Gladstone's after with one of my friends. And,
which is a restaurant on Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah, and it
right
was
on
good.
The beach.
And they have good seafood and such, so it was cool. It was nice. And it was a good night, you know, right on the water. So it was just chill and relaxing, and then took the dog down to the beach, and we're like, oh, let the dog go. And then, no, she took off running. I was like, and it's crazy because, like, you're sitting on the water, like, the restaurants are all above, so you can see everything below.
Right.
It's like the beach is illuminated at night. So we're like, oh, we'll take the dog down. She'll be good. And, like, let her go. And she takes off running, you know, the whole restaurant staring. Because I'm like, someone grab her leash, you know. And she takes off running in the parking lot, and we're like, oh, my God. She's scared of the waves.
Really?
Yeah. Idiot.
Well, that's dogs.
How can a pit bull be scared of the waves?
Because they've probably never seen it before. They don't know how to react.
She goes all the time, or she's all the time. It's been a while, but she's scared of her own shadow. I mean, it's like, the thing is, like, she'll bark and she gets crazy when it comes to, like, you know, she's territorial with, like, dogs or, like, someone's at the house, she'll bark and all that. But when it comes to, like, simple, stupid things, like waves or plastic gates, she freaks the hell out.
Really?
It's really funny.
Wow, plastic gates?
Like, she hates,
dog gates.
Like dog gates. She's like, oh my God, it makes a loud noise. I don't like it. Or
really?
It just looks weird. It's just weird.
Wow.
I know. And we had this weird incident in our house this week, too. Like, remember I told you the whole ghost thing?
Yeah.
So this happened again, like, the other night. I woke up, and I guess it was, like, I don't know what night it was, Friday or something. I don't know. And I woke up, and it was, like, 3:30 in the morning, and I felt like something was staring at me. Like, on the left side of my room. And so I'm like, what the hell? It was just so odd. Like, it was just so crazy. So I'm like, for a minute I was kind of paralyzed. Like I couldn't get up because I was like kind of freaked, like so scared. It felt like a whole power in the room. It was insane. So I'm like, okay, I gotta get over this. Stop being a pussy. Like, get up, you know? So I get up and I have like three doors in my room. Actually, four doors in my room that go different directions. Mm. So I run out through the one door, the bathroom door that goes in the hallway. And I run around. I'm like, my roommates are still up. And I'm like, you need to come in my room right now. And they're like, what? I'm like, just come in my room right now. So they go in my room and I'm like, look, it feels really weird in here. I'm like, I know, right? So I'm like, someone, like, I didn't even want to go on the right side of my, then it was like switching. Like, then it was on the right side of my room. No joke, my one of my roommates, Jessie, is in my room and it touches her. Like, her, I'm not even kidding. Her jeans pocket was like lifted up and where I'm looking at her and I'm like, oh, and she's like, oh my God, it grabbed me. I'm like, I know, something is in my room. I told you guys. It was so crazy. So. So we light sage and everything, and then I don't know, it got weirder and worse and just more crazy things happened, and then I felt like I was okay.
Wow.
It was odd, and then it was just the oddest thing, but I felt like maybe my week was, I don't know what the hell was in the air or the moon or like I don't know, it was just the weirdest week ever.
It wasn't a good week for you.
No, but yeah. I will say that the next night I woke up and I saw this black shadow standing over my bed. No joke. And I finally, like, I went and told everyone and they're like, oh, I see that shadow all the time. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I've never seen a black shadow in my house. Like, this black thing. Like, it was like a girl, but it was like, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
And Jesse's like, oh, I see it in my bathroom all the time. It's like the woman of the house. I'm like, what are you talking about?
What?
I swear to you. Yes.
You guys must be drinking too much or smoking something.
Well, last
something.
Night we were, yes, but but my girlfriend was over too, and she's like, oh my God, I saw it too one time, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. She told me about that like a while, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's this black female shadow in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay.
That's why I made my girlfriend sleep over last night. I'm like, you're staying in my room, right? I'm not staying here by myself.
You're nuts. I know. Afraid of ghosts. Come on.
I don't even know why I'm like, and that's the thing. I don't even know why I'm scared. Like, I'm like, of that, I wasn't, but everything else was like weird. Oh, that's why I was freaked out, because I was like in the bathroom and I have mirrors everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, like, I have this tall shelf thing and I had stuffed animals up there. They flew off the thing, like flew.
Really?
Like, literally, and I'm looking at it. As I was looking at it, it wasn't like I walked in and they were there. No, I saw it fly. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And like, it just fell, because they've been there forever. It's just like nothing, and it's like this tall thing. Like, nothing bumps into it. Nothing's near it. Like, it's way up and like near the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I'm so freaked out. I know. And I'm like, okay.
It is freaky, but I find it hard to believe. What can I tell you? You know,
well,
I don't think these things happen, man. You know, this is all we have is right here.
Okay.
But if you've seen things, I mean, what can I say? I can't argue with what you're seeing.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff. Anyway, all right, whatever. So that was my weekend. The Pro Bowl happened.
Really? Isn't that like after the Super Bowl usually?
No, it's always before. It's always the weekend in between.
Are you sure?
I watched it
like
yesterday.
Like the one in Hawaii?
Yeah. It's always before the Super Bowl.
I always thought it was after. Okay,
no.
Well, what do I know? Maybe they changed it.
No.
I'm thinking like 30 years ago.
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't watch it 30 years ago.
So how did that go? Was that an interesting game?
I mean, you know, like, it is kind of a joke in a way, because they don't want to hurt their players before the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like, you know, they're not really playing hardcore and they're not really sacking the quarterback. I mean, they do sack, but not. They're not like... They're bumping. It's like, it's literally like a joke in a way, where it's like flag, I feel like, because it's so stupid. But
yeah.
I mean, the AFC won. That's what I was excited about, because I'm AFC. But the score was 59-41.
Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
sounds like a basketball game.
Yeah, right? I know.
That's a high-scoring game.
It's not, actually, believe it or not, the top high-scoring game was in 2004 with the most points.
Yeah.
So this, I mean, it was high scoring, but it wasn't as.
It was a record, but yeah, it's still high.
But and there were eight Ravens that were.
Oh really? Eight of them?
Yeah, but a lot of us were injured, so we didn't really play it. But you know, it's just weird, like that whole AFC. It's like you hate everyone on the other teams, and then you're all shoved together, and you're like, oh, now I have to like you because now we're playing together. So it's kind of weird.
That's in politics too. I mean, you know, think about it.
I know.
Obama and Hillary Clinton were like, you know, killing each other during the elections, and now they're in the same government together,
you know. No,
So really, you never know.
I know. But I will say that Brandon Marshall is the Pro Bowl MVP of the game, in case you care, because I'm sure you don't, but people out there
what
may.
What team does he play for?
And Brandon Marshall. It's Monday morning, really? Now I have to
you
think.
You
should
I'm
know
like, that.
Well, I know what league he's in, but I don't remember what team. I don't know. I'm brain dead. I'm reading off of here. I write myself notes. I do. I do that a lot. So
that's
anyway.
Good.
Yeah, because...
You also write, like, what do you write? Like, online or something?
I do.
You mentioned something about that.
I write for two magazines online. One is called Hotels of the Rich and Famous, which you guys should check out, hotelsoftherichandfamous.com.
So, do you go to hotels and stuff and check it out?
Yeah, what? I mean, because I've traveled around the world. I like traveling. I get really antsy. Like, I'm getting antsy right now. Like, I need to go somewhere. And I thought about, like, oh, I should have, like, a trip to Catalina for the weekend or something. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
That would be cool.
But there's so much coming up, and I can't. But... Yeah, I love traveling. You know, the TV show that I was on, we traveled around the world, stayed at so many hotels. You know, I've been all over Europe, everywhere.
Yeah. So you're an authority on this. You can write.
Yeah. And when I was younger, like, this is actually really funny. When I was in high school, I was dating this guy who had this site where he would review places. He would review clothing. He used to get all this free shit, basically. And I looked at him and I was like, wow, that's how you do it. And so I kind of learned at a very young age. I'm like, you know, 17, 18, whatever. He was older. And I got free wetsuits. Nike gave me free wetsuits because I wrote about them. I was like, if you send me these wetsuits, I will write about it. And so they did. And we went all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, because they would, it was crazy because he would have his own, you know, I decided he'd do reviews on whatever.
Yeah.
So I would write for him occasionally. And I started back then, did that for a couple of years. And then I just didn't do it anymore. And now I got approached. She actually, Heather, who's the main, she started at Hotels of the Rich and Famous. She interviewed me a couple years ago for when I was on Project My World. And so she approached me recently and said, hey, you want to write for us? And I said, why not?
That's cool.
Yeah. So.
Do you like to write?
I do.
Really?
I do like to write. And plus I like sharing with the world, like, cool spots, you know, like really cool hidden gems, basically.
Right.
So anywhere you travel. So, yeah.
But I'm sure you write well. I mean, obviously.
I guess.
Right?
I don't know. Yeah. And I do celebrity interviews, too. So, like.
I mean, they don't have to edit your stuff, do they?
Well, of course you have to. I usually edit my own.
Yeah.
And then I submit it and she'll look over it, of course. You know,
some editing and stuff.
I mean, every editor, every person does. I mean, it's not much. It's really not like, you know, grammar and stuff. That's pretty much it.
Right.
But yeah, so I write for them, and then I write for Casanova Online. I have a column called Ask Bridgetta, which is a sex and relationship column. I know.
That's cool, though.
So anyone out there can...
You should be an authority on that.
Right? You know, it's because it's like, because of the whole extends thing, like people think I'm like, in a way, it's like, I guess I got forced into it. I'm like this sex and relationship expert because of extends. And so people start writing me like, if I take extends, will it help me here? And they're like, let me tell you what my real problem is. And they start writing about the relationship problems. And I'm kind of like, so here I become like an Ask Abby from like the newspapers, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, if you're having these problems, why do you think a pill is going to help you? And that's kind of how it started. Mm-hmm. And Casanova was like, hey, well, we want to know if you want to write for us. And so I said, sure. So if anyone out there has any crazy questions, you can write me at AskRajetta.
Yeah, there you go. She'll give you all the answers.
I know. But it's just weird. It's like, it's funny because I can't even answer my own relationship questions. Like, I can't do it for
myself.
That's
usually the case. Yeah.
I know. I can do it for anyone else, just not myself.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm actually a very good, like, I'm a very good listener. And I'm very good because I wanted to be a psychologist back in the day. So I'm a very good analyzer. I analyze situations pretty well. And I can give you some kick-ass advice. But
yeah.
Step into my role for a moment, and that doesn't happen.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is that it usually happens like you'll have therapists that go to their own therapists because they can't solve their own problems.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm one of those crazies. Yeah. That's just funny. But,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why this thought just came in my head. I just remembered something I did last night.
Yeah.
So stupid. I was drinking with my my girlfriend's like, I don't know how it started. Oh, I was watching the Pro Bowl. So, of course, I started with a Bloody Mary during the Pro Bowl. And then my girlfriend came over and she's like, ooh, let's make some, like, fluffy drinks. I'm like, okay. So we started, like, you know, having girl talk, whatever. And then Jesse came home. So it's like us three girls just being idiots. And then Curtis comes in. So we're being dumb all night long. And I forget why or what I did. But in the kitchen, I made this huge mess everywhere. I don't remember, like, how or what I did. And then I couldn't find soap. because everything's always missing in our house. So I forgot I took like a thing of like Dial soap, like, you know, like you wash your hands with.
Yeah, the soft soap.
Yeah, like the creamy, like liquid or whatever. And I squeeze it all over the floor.
Hand soap?
Yeah, like hand soap. Like it was like a big thing of hand soap. I'm like, whatever, I'll just do that. And then Jessie walks in and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I wasn't expecting anyone to look at me while I was doing this. I need to clean the floor somehow. And so you just happened to walk in at the wrong moment. She's like, you idiot. She's like, that's the slipperiest soap ever.
It is.
I'm like, I'm aware of this. And she's like, anyway, so it was like, I didn't realize what I did. I had clumps and clumps of like the soap all over the floor.
Uh-huh.
And you can't just like wet a paper towel and like wipe it up. It's like gooey. It's like goo all over the floor. So it became this like thing. We're dying laughing, cleaning it up, like goo all over the place. Anyway, I walk in the kitchen floor this morning. It's all sticky now. And the reason I just thought of this is because this water bottle kind of reminds me of what the dish soap looked like. It was a big bottle like this. And I was like, squish all over the floor. Like, this sounded like a great idea when I was
drinking. Wow, that's crazy, man.
I have some like great ideas when I'm drinking, or I think they're great ideas.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. You drink and you think you have great ideas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you smoke weed and you think you're the smartest person in the world.
Sometimes you are.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't smoked weed in I don't know how long, like years. But I used to think that I was amazing. I mean, I am amazing, but
yeah, you are.
You get all philosophical.
We have a phone call. Are we waiting for a guest or something?
Yes, actually, I think Dawn should be calling in.
Okay, let's see if that's her.
Let's see if it's Dawn.
Yeah, good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Who is this?
This is Dawn, the lovely, amazing Dawn Schiller.
Good morning, amazing Dawn. How are you?
Hi, how are you, Bruschetta?
I'm good. You know, my phone got stolen last week. It's a whole crazy thing. So I have this janky phone that I've been using. So I wasn't sure. Like, I was trying to, like, text. Huh?
Your phone got stolen? Why am I not surprised?
I know. Welcome to my world, right?
Yeah, right. Bruschetta's world. Who's your friend there? Sorry, I don't know you.
Oh, this is Sam. This is Sam.
Yeah.
Sam, hi.
Hi, how are you? I guess you didn't hear me until now.
Oh, yeah, I guess I.
Dawn, where are you calling from? Are you in L.A.?
No.
No, I'm calling from Oregon.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So Dawn has an amazing, amazing story that some people may know and some don't. And we met a couple years ago on the movie, during Wonderland, which I will let you talk about the book. She wrote a book recently that's been amazing, and she's had the most incredible life. And I'm gonna let you talk.
Yeah.
Basically.
So
about
it. Explain to people what Wonderland is. That's a movie, right, with Val Kilmer?
Yeah. Well, I'll let Dawn explain it all because she's better at explaining it, and I don't want to like. Go ahead.
Okay, Dawn. Go ahead. Tell us how you were involved in this.
I'm better at explaining it. Well, my story is that I'm the 15-year-old survivor of John Holmes, who was the catalyst for the Wonderland murders in Los Angeles back in 1981. And in 2002, like Bridgetta was saying, Hollywood wrote a script. They knew I was involved with John and the murders and being on the run with the FBI and how he was selling me off to Eddie Nash and using me as a pawn through the whole Wonderland time period, that they decided that they were going to write about me, and they wanted to know if I wanted to be a part of the film. They were going to do it with or without me, and I said, well, maybe this is my chance to tell the side of the story of this 15-year-old kid who for the last 5 years has been a hidden secret of John Holmes, who originally I was just a tenant in his apartment complex. So, I mean, I didn't really have anything to do with his line of work, and nobody really knew about me, but the movie Wonderland allowed me that opportunity to tell my side of what I knew of being involved in those horrible murders and the sadness about it all, and what I knew about John's involvement. And they did the film, and that's where I met Bridgetta. Bridgetta was actually working on the set doing all kinds of stuff, but we hit it off right away and had fun, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah,
and after
that's
the movie
some time
Wonderland.
Ago.
Yeah.
You want to go back, or you want me to finish?
No. I just said that was some time ago.
Yeah.
When you guys met.
Yeah, we've known each other since 2002, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 10 years now?
Cool.
Yeah.
So what were you doing as a 15-year-old around John Holmes?
My parents, my dad divorced my mother in Florida when I was 15, and he took us cross country to California, and we ended up living in the same apartment complex that John Holmes, outside of the porn world, was manager with, his then wife, so who was not really his wife. It's a very complicated story. They were married way before he got into the porn industry. She was a nurse, a pediatric nurse, and they managed this place that her boss, Dr. Nettycombe from Glendale, owned. And so he went to work at night doing his job in porn and then came home in the day. But they were living as a brother and sister relationship at the time, because she was not did not approve of what he had, his career path choice, and but couldn't quite break away from him. So that's that was the situation that I came into. I was 15 years old. I was there with my father, who was disabled, Vietnam vet. John was the guy who sold him pot. And so my father turned the other way while John, you know, came in as a predator and, you know, kind of seduced a 15-year-old kid, as if I had ever, you know, as if anyone had a chance to walk away from his seduction. I mean, he was, like, at the top of his game back then. And, you know, as a 15-year-old kid who was from a broken family, I really didn't have a lot to...
Yeah, you didn't stand a chance, really, once he came along.
Yeah.
So, did he end up molesting you and things like that, too?
He groomed me and then took me, and then he kept me secret in this little garage apartment back for about 5 years, and then as the years went on, he got, you know, he started isolating me. It's the classic predator thing. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, other women that are taken and kept hidden for years and years, he did a big brainwashing thing. And when you're a 15-year-old kid and you don't have a lot of solid background anyway, you know,
you're very vulnerable.
This guy's going to tell you. You're very vulnerable. And this guy was treating me with kindness on one hand and then with abuse on the other. And so it was entrapment as far as emotional, physical, you know, mental. But then he got hooked on drugs, as we all know the story, or most of us know the story, and got involved with Eddie Nash. And Eddie Nash, you know, set up a robbery of Eddie's by the Wonderland Gang. And at that time, John was selling me out on the streets and selling me out to Eddie in trade for drugs after, you know, and he would beat me before and beat me afterwards. And
wow.
You know, the movie Wonderland really just shows a little bit of that. And after the movie, I wrote my book called The Road Through Wonderland, Surviving John Holmes, and that came out last year. So there's a lot of wows in there, and there's a lot of things to talk about. I also started a nonprofit called Esteem, which stands for Empowering Successful Teens Through Education, Awareness, and Mentoring. And what we do is we educate communities on the, you know, the vulnerabilities of kids like I was, a throwaway kid who doesn't have anybody looking out for them, and how we can possibly advocate for them as a community.
Right. Now, how old was he at the time? Do you remember?
32.
Oh, sure, I remember. Wow. Yeah.
Of course you remember.
Jeez.
Yeah.
How can people do this with 15-year-olds? You know, I mean, the thing is that even a little amount of decency would keep you from getting involved like this, you know?
Yeah,
but these are people that have no, you know.
He was so messed up, though, and caught up in his own little world.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So you're saying he got into porn while you were around?
No, before me. He was already considered the king of porn by the time I showed up.
I see. Okay.
With my dad, yeah, he was really, you know, he was pretty much not doing drugs at the time, and he was able to work and that kind of thing. But it was a few years after that he got into the cocaine. The cocaine scene got really heavy in the late 70s, early 80s. You know how
right.
that happened.
Uh-huh.
If you know any of LA lore, and you know, there was. It took a lot of people down fast and hard, and John was one of them in his world, and he took me with him.
Wow.
And it ended up being tragically the bludgeoning death of four people and one gal who lived but could never pull her life together again. And
Tell us about that. I mean, how was John involved in that? He was part of this gang or something that you were describing?
He was a drug runner for Eddie Nash, and he would end for the Wonderland Gang on Wonderland Avenue on Laurel Canyon, and they lived very close to each other. You know, Eddie lived on Donna Lola Place, which was a little bit further towards Studio City off of Laurel Canyon, and you know, so it was a drug run. It was the traffic area. So he'd go back and forth, and he was always afraid I'd run, because a lot of times I did try to run, and he would catch me and beat me and throw me back in the car again, or do other horrible things.
Did he end up making you live with him? Were you living with him at the time?
I did end up living with him. He wouldn't let me leave his side. His greatest fear was, you find that out later when you learn about batterers, is their greatest fear is that you're going to leave them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
You just
psychologically.
You've turned your life around. Like, it's amazing. I mean, you are such an incredible, amazing person. Like, I look to you, and I look up to you, rather. I mean, from everything from everything that you've came from and what you're doing now with Esteem and. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. You're empowering other teens, and you're just an incredible woman. You really are. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, it's good that you moved to Oregon, at least away from all this mess here, this place.
I love LA. I love going back. It's certainly not. That's not why I left, to be honest with you. I left because I have a daughter, and I raise her in a small town, and I go to university. And so I'm actually graduating in June.
Yay.
And yay, I know. I'm so excited. So you caught me here doing – I've got a paper due this evening, so I've got to get that finished. One of my last papers. And, I've written a play. I've written some other stuff, and I'm working on another memoir right now, which I can't disclose what it is at the moment, but I think I can in a couple weeks. I'm very excited about. I like that I've through the writing process of my book, I've been able to, turn that tragedy into something that showed people that you can come out of that you can turn it around. But not only that, it gave me the opportunity to really hone a writing craft that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't expect that benefit, but I got it. And so I'm continuing with the writing.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. How long was this going on, and how did you get out of it? This whole situation.
5.5 years, and the ending is pretty, drama-based, but we ended up on the run. We had the FBI out after us. We had a lot of contracts out after us. And for me, I say us only because they wanted me because I was with him.
Right.
And we went across country to Florida. We lived in a transient hotel, and at that point he, for about 6 months, and he... got the idea suddenly that we needed more money, we needed to get out, and the pressure got too much, and he started beating me again, and then he started to kick me out and tell me to go onto the beach and, earn money so we could get out of there. And I would fight him and cry and try to run like I always did. And one point I actually made it to the door and got out, and I ran down towards the swimming pool in broad daylight in front of all of the people who thought we were just the nice couple. And he chased after me, he grabbed me by my hair and pummeled me, dragged me back upstairs, and everybody just stared at him because they couldn't believe that he had changed like that. And what happened was his true self was he finally did it in front of somebody else. And these people who watched this the next day came to my door when I waited for him to leave, and they said, "Grab your stuff, you're leaving," and they took me out of there.
Oh, wow.
It was an intervention of strangers.
Yeah.
And
you're very fortunate. Who knows what would have happened otherwise. Now, how did he die? How did John Holmes die?
Well, after the people got away, I turned him into the police because, I was really, it was good people were giving me wise counsel at the time, when they were saying, "Look, you're not safe if he's not, in jail. This had nothing to do with you." And it was finally time for me to take care of myself and quit protecting him. And I did it. And I called the cops, and they came. And, actually, it was a little bit of a different story. But they eventually found out from me where he was, and they extradited him. He never was really charged for it. He did a year for contempt because he never spoke. He never wanted to turn on Eddie Nash. And the thing is that he was pretty scared of him, and scared of whatever else he knew in that world. And I don't know. And I took off, and I found my father, and my father took me to Southeast Asia. So I spent the next 5.5 years in Southeast Asia, and came back. And then when I came back in 87, 88, I heard that he was sick in the hospital with AIDS. So he died in 1988, so about 5 years after I saw him last.
He had AIDS. Okay. Yeah, I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know LA, this happened 3 miles from here, 4 miles from where we are. So, yeah, this is pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. So you're definitely a survivor.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Where do you see... Yeah. Where do you see, I know with the steam and everything, where do you want that to go? Where do you see that, like, being in the next year or two? I mean, I know personally, but for everyone else that's listening, like, and whatnot.
well, personally, I would like to see, you know, more programs being brought out into communities. We want to empower communities to do mentoring events and mentoring do mentoring with their community kids that are out there and that are struggling. It's kind of a long ride. You know, when you start a nonprofit, it's really an upward struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funding is limited, and, you know, everybody for grants are struggling for the funding. And so right now we want to stay within our realm, and we want to have a great functioning website that's going to be informative and interactive for people to come to. And we have that semi-built now. We're working on this year, finishing our branding. So all of these are processes. You can go to empowerteens.com and check it out. You can email me off of that website, and you can give me suggestions. Anything you have, I'm willing to accept. Once we get the branding going, we'll have live feeds on different stories that happen nationally.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to throwaway kids and different programs that are working, so that it becomes kind of a nucleus, a place where people can go when they have that that issue in, you know, of what they want to do, if they want to help, or if they want to learn more about what's going on with kids in their neighborhood and how to reach out to them.
Right.
And eventually, you know, we want to be able to go to different communities, and we want to be able to do presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to what we call bring esteem into your community and have different mentoring, like camps and different, you know, mentoring and art and writing camps for kids. And we did one of those last summer, and we're looking forward to doing another one this summer that really, you know, we reach out to the marginalized communities where kids, you know, are maybe put in foster care. Some of them are maybe, you know, coming in and out of drug court, trying to figure out their way in life, you know, and, you know, hopefully give them a different path, a different direction to go.
Right. Well, this is noble what you're doing, and it's nice to hear that out of bad things, good things turn out. And
she really is a role
happen.
Model.
And
yeah.
So empoweringteens.com is where people can go?
Empower.
Oh, empowerteens. I'm sorry. Empowerteens.com.
And then she's got her book as well, which you can find, we can buy online, and also which bookstores, if you want to tell everyone where they can find your book.
Barnes & Noble has it. You know, if you're in L.A., Book Soup has it. I did a reading there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they still have it last year. but that's a great place. And, you know, you can always get in Barnes & Noble online and Amazon online. And, you know, you can find me on Facebook. I, you know, try to respond to people who, you know, have decent comments. I don't like to get weird, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And then your website is, as well as if they want to go to it and check it out.
For the book, uh-huh. Is theroadthroughwonderland.com.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the title of the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, everybody go out and get that Dawn Schiller, right?
Yes, amazing.
And thank you for your story. It's amazing, and you're definitely a survivor, and even more than that, you know. And I think people have lessons to learn from this. I don't know how you managed to survive it, but
she's amazing.
You're obviously stronger than ever now, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
The human spirit is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. I mean, you know, to try to live a normal life after your childhood was screwed up like that is very difficult, I think.
Well, I'm not the only one that's had a tough time in life, mm-hmm. and I think that we all can glean off of each other the good things that helped us get out of things. But I heard a great quote yesterday that said it's not what happened to us that matters. It's what we do with what happened to us.
Yes, absolutely.
That is a great quote.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
And, that's what life is all about, really.
That's
because
right.
Bad things happen to everyone, you know, but it's how you react to it and how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, God forbid, you didn't get AIDS from him, did you?
No.
No, thank God. I mean, you know, I think I had enough to deal with. That, but no, I was really, really lucky. I was really, really lucky because he was very, you know, what I had read that after he found out he had AIDS, he still intentionally worked in the adult community without protection.
Wow.
And so he put a lot of people at risk. And I just think that's horrible.
Yeah.
Abominable.
Well,
but it's very indicative of who he was and the spirit that he had. Very self-centered and angry soul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, usually these are people that were probably abused when they were kids, and then they abuse other people,
yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
you don't turn out to be a piece of shit unless you had a bad childhood, you know?
Yeah,
I agree, you know, but at some point, at some age, we all have to, you know, grab our
big
girl pants, big boy pants, and, take responsibility, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah. Dawn, well, thank you so much for the time and the story. I mean, it's fascinating, and I hope it hadn't happened, but since it did, at least you're able to help other girls and women and that. So.
Yeah, other teens. Yeah. Thanks, Dawn. I love you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, and I will talk to you.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay, nice to meet you, Sam.
You
take
too.
Care.
Bye-bye, Dawn.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Nice lady.
Yeah, she's amazing. She really is just such an incredible woman. I mean, like I said, I can't believe it's been 10 years that I've known her, and I met her working on the set because I worked for Val about Kilmer back in the day, and I can't remember if I was dating him at the time or working for him.
So she didn't take part in the film, though, right?
She was
just like a consultant.
She was a consultant. Yeah,
right.
In fact, Kate Bosworth played her in the movie.
I see. Okay.
So if you watch the movie, it was kind of a little glimpse of that. Yeah.
Now that I know the story, I want to watch the movie and see.
It's crazy. I mean, and I definitely go and rent Wonderland. You get an idea of what happened. It's not. I mean, it's definitely an idea of it. Not everything. You know, with her relationship with John, it shows a little, but doesn't show everything.
Right.
But it, in fact, the actual photos that are used in the film were the actual ones for the crime scene. I know because I had to sit there and pick them out, and I actually got sick when I was going through
watching
them.
It.
When we were working, all of us were working with the actual police department, LAPD here. They were they were great with also consulting with the film, and they had given us photos from the actual crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they were, like I said, eight people or whatever were bludgeoned. Was it eight people? Were bludgeoned to death, and I can't remember how many people. And we had the pictures from the actual, like, when their heads were exploding and the blood in the wall and everything. I mean, it was so gruesome, the photos that we had. And we were deciding whether to use them or not in the film. And so I had to go through them and pick out the ones and help and turn them into Val and whatnot. And we did a lot of art. We had an art show that we had held where we took the photos and we made copies of them and blew them up and put them into art and then paper mache'd over it or put, you know, whatever. We made like these art, and basically it went to the film, but it also went to some of the charity. Went to a charity for it. So it was just, I mean, it was just a lot of involvement. It was my coming into LA. It was like my first major thing that I worked on, and it was just. It was incredible. It was crazy. It was just, I mean.
Now, what was the reason for the murders? Was that over drugs?
It was over drugs. Yeah, it was over drugs. Like I said, if you watch the movie, you'll understand a lot of it. Or read her book, you'll understand a lot. But it was Eddie Nash, just so you guys, you know, if you guys don't know who he was, he, back in the day, was the biggest drug lord there possibly was.
Really?
And, yeah, it was huge. And he also ran L.A., and he ran nightclubs in L.A., and he basically owned pretty much the majority of L.A. because he was, you know, he had so much money, and he was the main drug king. So, you know, it was like back in the, it was like 70s, 80s, late 70s and 80s. He had all these clubs and everything, and he was a very powerful man. You do not mess with Eddie Nash.
Yeah.
And he will have you killed. And long story short, people stole from him, and John was involved, indirectly, but involved. He was just an idiot. And they made him go in and be a part of these murders. And so they went and got everyone back that stole from him and beat them with hammers and to death with their in their head. No, I'm not kidding. While they were sleeping in the middle of the night. And it's just a crazy fucked up story. And yeah, it happened. Wonderland. It's called Wonderland because of the Wonderland Avenue is where it took place, where the murders were.
Okay.
Wonderland Avenue is off Laurel Canyon. In Los Angeles, which is off of Sunset. It's actually Laurel Canyon is the road, for those that are listening, to from Hollywood area, Sunset, that takes you into the valley.
Into the valley, to Studio City, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's some story, man.
It's crazy. It's insane. And I met her back then, and we just became really good friends. I thought she's an incredible person and role model, and just she's always been a great friend and someone that I can call and talk to for anything. She's like, you know, she's there. She's just great. But she's doing so much with her life, and she's also on the board of Victims of Crime, which I learned a lot about because I was jumped a couple years ago. I'm in a case right now. I can't really talk about it, but I was jumped with my ex, and it was just horrible. And we went through a lot, and we relied on the Victims of Crime to help us out with it. And so she's on the board of that, which is this program that they have that helps victims in the time of need get through. They help you find therapy, and they help you find like with your medical bills and what just a lot because there's so much to deal with when you go
it
through
is
something.
You have to deal with a lot.
Yeah. So it's an organization that comes in and kind of helps you with it all, but it's just And so I her program Esteem is something that I really want to help, and that is kind of like every celebrity or every actress has their own charity kind of thing, and I always say like Esteem would be mine. Like if I would help out with her, you know, I want to help her as much as I possibly can. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You probably will when you reach your first million or two. Then
I will, absolutely. I will get that program
you can start
running
supporting.
Off the ground. Yeah, because, you know, they're called throwaway teens. It's like, and it's just, I know
that's terrible. Yeah, you got to help, you know. Bill Gates has just pledged $360 million to fight neglected tropical diseases.
It's so random. Sorry, you just
because you're talking about donating money and stuff, you know, to charity, and that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay.
It tied it in because the point is that when you have the money,
do it.
Then you can do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, and
when
I get
you barely
that.
Can pay your rent.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I think when you have money, it's cool to. To help and donate and stuff. It was kind of random, but...
Because you're, like, coming with these facts right away. It's funny. It was
actually
funny.
No, because I was going to talk about it, and then you brought it up, so I thought, who cares, right?
Yeah, whatever.
$360 million. Dollars,
wow.
That's a lot of money. And
well,
I'm
good.
Sure it's not even a pimple on his ass.
Probably not. And I like how you pimple on his ass.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty it.
That's clever.
Pretty much it.
I'll give you that. It's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, and speaking of which, anyone out there that's listening, I am raising money for Michelle's Place, the breast cancer, the amazing race for breast cancer that I'm doing.
Right.
And I only have a couple weeks left to raise the money. So if anyone who's listening can do a dollar, like every dollar counts. I'm not even kidding. Like I need to do it. Please, 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 like donate a dollar, $5, whatever you can possibly do. I don't care. A penny, like anything counts. And it's a tax write-off, and it's for good causes for breast cancer. The link is on my Facebook page. It's also on my Twitter. If you go to twitter.com, Real Bridgetta, BRIDGETTA, please. Cause I really need to raise some money for that. But it's for breast cancer, and I'm doing the amazing race around Temecula. It's called the Reality Rally.
Right. And when does that happen? In March?
It happens in April.
Oh, in April.
But they need the money, and now that I'm raising, so I really only have 2 weeks left to do it, and so I'm kind of like freak out time. So I mean, if everyone's listening and just donate a dollar, seriously, it's not, and it's all private. You can show your name. The site's secure. You can show your name on there or not. It doesn't matter. So please, a dollar, $5.
Yeah, please help.
Exactly. Help me out. I'll post it again on my Twitter and my Facebook after the show's over.
Okay.
So you can find
Sounds
it.
Good.
Yeah.
For people that are generous. Even if you have less money than Bill Gates, you can still donate
It's
something.
A dollar. It's a damn dollar. Come on.
Yeah, but you should ask for more. I mean, a dollar is going to take forever.
I know. It would be really nice if you could do $5 or $10
five,
or $20 or $25, whatever.
Yeah.
Anything. But, I mean, like I'm saying, for those that can't afford it, a dollar is nothing. You know, $5 to you. I mean, like, anyway. So please, we should post a link on the radio page.
Yeah, at least to show appreciation of your hard work at it.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Bust my ass. Anyway, come support. Whatevs. But there's so many holidays and things in February. It's just
like what holidays? You mentioned that. Like, we have Valentine's Day. What else?
It's not really holidays. It's events. Like you know, you have the SAG Awards this weekend. You have
Did you watch any of those?
I didn't because I was watching the Pro Bowl and I got drunk instead.
Yeah.
You have and then you have next weekend is Super Bowl. So you got the Super Bowl on the 5th.
Right.
And then the weekend after that is the 12th is the Grammys. And then you've got Valentine's Day on the 14th. And then the following week is is like NBA All-Star Week, and then you've got the Oscars right after that. So it's just like it's so much this month.
Right.
It's crazy.
But it's not like it has anything to do with me. You know, I mean, I don't care about the Oscars. Right, and stuff.
But I'm throwing an event for it.
A lot of stuff happens.
So.
Like, what, it's supposed to stress me out?
No, but it's stressing me out because I have events that I have to throw and things that I'm doing to help out. And it's just like, it's a very stressful month for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only stressful for me around Valentine's Day because I can never figure out what to do. I don't like going and spending $500 on dinner. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Why would
to
you
me.
Spend $500
because
on dinner?
That's what they charge when you go out on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Why don't you cook? It's sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
honestly
know how to cook,
like,
though.
So take out, you know what, then that's even better because it's more meaningful. You take out a Betty Crocker cookbook, whatever. There's those like guy cookbooks that you can, I forget what they're called, but like go online, it'd be funny. And like find a recipe of something that you like and just literally follow it. And the fact that she knows that you don't know how to cook and that you've like made a meal, even if it's half-assed.
It's a big deal, huh?
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Like that is more meaningful to me than spending money. Like honestly, with me, money doesn't impress me. Right. I don't care about money at all. It's the thought. It's what you put into something, that's what is like, wow.
That's
like,
cool.
This person just did that for me. It could be the stupidest thing, you know, to whatever, but it's the fact that you put energy into doing it. That's awesome.
That's true. The thought behind it and the effort and stuff.
Because anyone can take you to dinner and someone can, whatever. I mean, just, it's more meaningful if it's done at home or creatively some other way. Make a picnic. Even if it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you could have a picnic and go to the beach.
That's true. That's
be
a good
creative.
Idea.
Huh? That's sexy. That's like, I don't care what's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know, the fact that you did it and then you thought of taking me to the beach and surprising me, that's sexy. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly and wine.
It's amazing
peanut
what
butter
turns
jelly
women on, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The energy that you put into it, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the SAG Awards, I guess the movie The Help won a lot.
I haven't seen that.
It won Best Cast, Best Actress,
oh,
Best
I
Supporting
did see
Actress.
Oh, actually. I'm sorry. That was amazing.
Yeah, you saw that part?
I forgot. I did see it. It was amazing. You guys should definitely see it. It's just, wow. I really loved it. I forgot about that.
The film, you mean? Not the SAG show. Yeah, okay.
No, the film, The Help. It was a great
Is it good?
Movie. It's about all of, you know, like your help back in the day, like the slaves, basically, that would take care of the white children.
Right.
And it's just incredible. It's this, forget the girl that plays the white girl.
The white girl. We mentioned her a couple times. We never remember her name.
I always forget her name. She's an actress. She's been on a ton of things recently. But she plays one of the children, one of the white girls that were raised basically by the slaves, by black females that raised them back in the day. And she stood up for them. And she decided to stand up and write about it. And it's just, it's an incredible story. And it's very touching. And it's crazy what they went through, and I recommend you see it because it's not dull. It's actually very good.
Really?
Very touching.
Yeah. Because it's not really my kind of film, but if you say it's pretty good, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and it won all the awards too. It's very touching. It's not dull at all. And it's funny. There's some funny moments. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
There's some hilarious, oh yeah, I forgot, like they like pee in this, I don't know, you have to watch it. they get evil. Don't piss them off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's good. That's a good movie. But anyway, go ahead, continue.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, not much to continue. I just, there's an article called Why I Orgasmed in an MRI Scanner.
What? Okay, wait, please do tell, because where did that come from?
Yeah,
and how?
I guess this researcher,
Oh, because it's like the weird sounds?
No, not at all. In fact, the headline is kind of like misleading.
Oh.
What it is she self-stimulated her to orgasm while they were measuring her brain waves.
I've been in an MRI before, and that does not make you horny.
No, no, she did it. She did it on purpose.
Oh.
Yeah, she reached an orgasm on purpose by self-stimulating herself.
Okay, so she wanted to see what her brain waves
would be? So they can see the brains and stuff. So it's not that the machine.
All right, that's really creepy because you're in the machine, but you're not fully in. It depends what kind of MRI you're in, because most of them are open now.
Right.
And anyone can watch you. And I mean, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. But it was part of the study.
It was all medical. It was all medical, I swear. The guys that were whacking off behind the, the window, it's just the mirrored window. It was all medical, for medical reasons only.
Yeah.
What?
I guess she said it's a background research for her book, Dirty Minds, How Our Brains Influence Love, Sex, and Relationships.
Oh, well, see, then, okay, then.
So she participated in the study. It was at Rutgers University.
I'll read her book.
Yeah.
Book, just because she sounds crazy and I'm be entertained. Who is she?
She's a researcher,
I guess. What's her name?
Kate Sukel. Right.
All right.
Yeah, something
we should
like
contact
that.
Her and have her talk about
that. That's true. The book Dirty Minds sounds
Dirty
pretty
Minds.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We are out of time. And hopefully you'll have a better week this week.
Yeah, I hope
so. It started off good, right?
It started off good, yeah.
So you're good.
It's a good day today. Yeah, thank you.
No cat scratch fever.
It's doing better. My nose is looking better.
Yeah.
Like, actually, it's like, you see right here?
Yeah.
That's come off. And then I just have the one above, like, my mouth is, it just sucks because I'm talking, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway. But
you'll
whatever.
Be fine.
I'll survive.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Take care.
Have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.